friends are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. My guest, and I'm always honored, when she comes to town, to have Baroness May Blood. And Baroness May, you're very welcome indeed
to
New
York.
Thank you
very much. It's a delight to be in New York again.
Now, let me ask you, first of all, I think we should maybe fill in a little bit about integrated schooling, which is an integrated education. Which is your, many would say, is your creation, even though it was supposed to be, if we go back even as far as 1921, it was written into legislation but it had no
real meaning until about 40 years ago, when a group of very determined parents decided to make it a reality. And they took real chances. 28 children escorted to school every day with armed guard, escorted home by armed guard. And today that school started off with 28. Today there's 1,200 children in that school. So it has grew over the years, slowly in some cases, because we have to fundraise for every step of the way. And that can make it slower.
Why, in terms of the funding, where does the funding come from?
We have to fundraise for the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's called seed funding.
Right.
Because it's a new idea, because we want to set up a school with certain commitments in it, we have to fund that. The government, our Department of Education, has made the ruling when it reaches a certain critical number, they will take it over.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes about 3 years to grow to that number. And so we fundraise for those that starting time.
Now, when we talk about integrated schooling for Northern Ireland, I assume there was a great period of time when we were talking primarily Catholic and Protestant. But as with many other countries, particularly Ireland over the last 3 or 4 decades, there's a lot of integration in the schooling to begin with, where you have different religions, where you have some new religions. How is that woven into integrated schools?
Well, what has happened is when you're quite right, for many years of troubles, we didn't have an influx of immigrants.
Right.
Now we have. And most of them would choose to go to an integrated school because they understand the term.
Right.
All children being educated together. The problem is that we cannot fulfill that. But on the case of Northern Ireland, our education system itself is basically very segregated. We have Protestant schools and we have Catholic schools. The curriculum in both schools is all the same. All the schools all go to one curriculum, but they're divided by religion. And that is why we took the step of trying to change that, because we believe that you have to mix children up from a very early age.
Absolutely. And there was no, as you've said many times in the past, there wasn't much sense in bringing children up in a segregated society and then, you know, expecting them to magically just switch over when school was over.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
They probably did more, for segregation in Northern Ireland than any other aspect.
It's like any area in the world where you have ghettos of people of one religion or one faith or one colour. There's a whole mystery grows up around that. And to them, everybody outside is the enemy. And unfortunately, in Northern Ireland, we still have a lot of segregated housing. And so therefore, one side views the other as the enemy. Now we have to change that.
How is religion handled then in integrated schools?
The same as every other school. There's no difference. We have to fulfil the criteria set down by the government. So they have religious studies exactly the same as if they were in a Protestant school or a Catholic school. There is no difference. That has to be fulfilled.
And there is no recruiting with respect to whatever the child's religion is? There's no attempt to make that?
No. If they come into an integrated school and they're Catholic, then we bring in the Catholic Church to teach the catechism and things like that. It's a Protestant. But we mix them together. What we would do essentially is, say for instance, it was a Catholic celebration day, like Lent or something like that.
Right.
All the children in the school, Protestant and no faith, would all be invited to go to that service.
Yes.
Ash Wednesday, they're all invited to go to that service. If there's a Protestant day, all the children are invited. So they see there's no real difference in religion. After all, we all worship the same God. So yeah. There's no real difference, and it's about getting that into young people's minds very early on.
It's hard to believe, actually, that it's now almost 7 years since I traveled with Mayor Bloomberg over to Ireland. And one of the first stops, as a matter of fact, one of the few stops that he made was under your guidance to visit integrated schools. And I think we all came out of that saying, you know, the sense of integration was very evident all over the place. It's not just a question of, their games, the number of activities.
No, it's about celebrating each other's culture.
Right.
A young man once told me that he was a Catholic, he went to an integrated school, and he said the best thing about it was he learned to celebrate other people's culture, not fear it.
Yes.
Now, that's where we have to get to in Northern Ireland.
What happens in times of, recently, but even as you know, as early as last week, and when there were a lot of tensions around, does any of that spill into the schools, and how does it affect?
No, I have to say, Adrian, from day one, schools have always protected the children inside the gates, whatever the school is, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, integrated.
Right.
Once they're inside the school gate, that is almost like a sanctuary. That kind of thing doesn't come in. In many ways, I had the same experience when I worked in the mills during the years of the Troubles. You kept the trouble outside the gate.
Yeah.
You were there to work. Children are in the school to be educated. What happens when they go home is a different story.
Right.
Because they go home to their own neighbourhoods. But that is not allowed in the school. It's very closely watched.
And what would be the equivalent now of say, parent-teacher associations, and how involved are parents in the schools themselves? Do they?
Well, the interesting thing is, in our integrated schools, the schools are set up by parents. So there's a big interest. We have a colossal amount of parental interest in our schools.
Mm-hmm.
In Protestant schools, Protestant state schools, wouldn't be the same interest in working class Protestant schools.
That's
Catholic
right.
schools, yes, big interest in parents. It's parents keep the school going. It's them
right.
makes it a good or a bad school.
Yes. And they're also involved, indeed, in those areas where even after the three-year period, the extra expenses, the extracurricular activities, which are not paid for by the government. It is
the parents do all the fundraising for that, and the children themselves. And of recent years now, each integrated school has started to fundraise for the main course to put money into the fund to help another school get started.
Fantastic. How many schools were there? Of course, you started off primarily with the Lagan College, which was very closely watched. Many people felt it would never get off the ground. But how has the integrated school, how successful is it? Is it parochial? Is it for an area?
No. Integrated schools is right across the board. We have them in affluent areas.
Right.
Middle class areas. We have them in working class areas. It's right across the board, the 63 schools we have. In all the counties, there's a number of schools in every one of them.
It's fantastic.
Well, it has to be done, Adrian.
Right.
I mean, the Good Friday Agreement was signed 16 years ago, and out of that, look what has flowed.
Yes.
Who would have believed McInnes would have shook hands with the Queen?
Yeah.
Who would have believed the President of Ireland would have had a state visit? All those things were 16 years ago only a dream. The one thing that has not been done is to have a shared society, and that is the building block that we must push on, and I firmly believe integrated education is part of that.
Well, I think that was part of your dream in the first place, is that if you have children, particularly in the formation years and during their early education, if they are getting along, if not only in their schooling, but also in their activities and in their sports and everything, it would be pretty difficult to think that after they leave there, that all somehow that is left behind.
Now, what happens is, in a case where a young person is fortunate enough to go to university, for some of them, that's the first time they ever meet somebody from the other faith.
Yeah.
But they're 18 years of age, they've already made up their minds about
certain
things. I cannot see the difficulty in lifting our children up from a much, much earlier age. That's the way we have to go. That's what we have to do, and that's what we're working towards.
When you make trips to the United States, and in fact, are some people, are they surprised, in fact, that that integrated schooling is, let's say, relatively new concept?
Yes, I have to say, I was speaking last night at a big event here in New York, and there were a number of people in the room come up to me afterwards and said, we didn't even know that happened. Because the interesting thing is, you see, here in the States, religion isn't taught in school.
Right.
Northern Ireland is part of the curriculum. And that surprises many Americans. But also what surprises many Americans is why people would be anti-putting children together. Because here in America, it's a dumb thing.
Well, it is, yeah. It's one of, I suppose, one of our strengths.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that has a lot to do with people, as in Ireland today, with when you have immigration, when you have people coming in.
An interesting thing in the south of Ireland now, their education system is changing dramatically. Dramatically. Like us in the north, they had only one, they had a university for teaching Catholic teachers and a university for educating Protestant teachers.
Yeah.
And we have in the north too, we have two separate universities. They don't even train together. In the south of Ireland, they're changing all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing away with that. They're saying, right, there'll be one university, you're going to be trained there to be a teacher.
Right.
Religion is not the factor.
Let me ask you, and my guest friend is Baroness May Blood. I wanted to ask you about Northern Ireland in general. We know that there is, the integration and integrated schools in Northern Ireland is far from complete.
Yeah, absolutely.
62, that's great, and it's a great number of schools, but it still has to to grow.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Where does the atmosphere in Ireland, as you see, have particularly in recent years, where is the emphasis in terms of, obviously now there are a lot of decisions and a lot of taxing, excuse me, upon issues that come with, the government, the assembly set up in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Where do you see either the most, what needs to catch up, and where do you see the most?
Interesting you should ask me, Adrian. I was involved recently. I sit on a British Irish Parliamentary Assembly,
right,
which is north and south and east and west. And we were doing a little exercise 15 years from the Good Friday Agreement. What had changed, what had not changed.
Right.
And interesting, there are about six things in the Good Friday Agreement that has never been implemented. But they're nearly all community issues. They're nearly all to do with working class community issues. Now, unless we change them, people will see nothing in the agreement for them.
Right.
And that's another issue I'm working on also, to try and get that implemented. If you look at the Good Friday Agreement, it's been hugely successful. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have dreamt we would have seen what we've seen in recent years in Northern Ireland? If anybody had asked me that 10 years ago, I'd have said, you're on magic mushrooms.
Yes.
That ain't going to happen.
No.
Every day, there's different things unfolding. But there's still basic things not being adhered to. One is, for instance, human rights legislation.
Right.
I mean, there's big discrimination against people who, for instance, would like gay marriage. Who are homosexual, lesbian, big discrimination against them. Quietly, it's not done openly, but it's there. That's part of the Good Friday Agreement. That should also be fulfilled.
Right. But I think what it boils down to initially, though, is when you say it, what affects the middle class community, where they say not only have we not benefited anything from this, but nobody seems to care. Like when you say, if you were to even to say that of the Good Friday Agreement, that's 16 years later, that there's even one item, like whose responsibility is to bring that?
Mm-hmm.
Are there so many other issues that somehow this gets lost on the priority list?
No, I think there's a reluctance to fulfill some of the things in the Good Friday Agreement because they pertain to the community. Because they're not seen by our elected politicians as real hard subjects. let's deal with all, let's get the devolved administration set up. We have a queer sense of government. We have no opposition.
Right.
Round the table, everybody's agreeing, even though they're different parties. We don't have an opposition in Northern Ireland. So therefore, basically, everything just goes through. But if you look at some of the issues, for instance, as I've already said, equality,
right.
human rights, integrated education, there's a host of things. The civic forum, which is quite a simple thing, and it was envisaged in the Good Friday Agreement that there'd be a civic forum set up, which would be a group of people under the elected politicians to advise.
To advise. And would they have any clout?
They were merely an advisory role.
Right.
But in the early days of the Good Friday Agreement, the Ulster Unionist Party and the SDLP, who were the leading parties at
right.
the time, effectively done away with it in 2 years. Now, they were talking 4 or 5 years ago about restoring it, but it has never been done. I believe if we had had that today, we wouldn't have the trouble that we see on the streets periodically, because I think people who know these things are going to happen, can see what would solve the problem, are able to feed that up to the proper things. Is there a will among our elected politicians? I don't know.
It's to be hoped that it will. We are delighted, and obviously all of us on this side of the Atlantic are delighted with the amazing progress which has been made. I think sometimes we may get the feeling that things are not as fragile as sometimes
yeah.
we see, and that it takes
yeah.
some kind of incident before
yeah.
we go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a sense of confidence in Northern Ireland now that, say, in the last 10 years,
well, there's a sense of confidence in that people can see there's better things.
Right.
People can see that the cities, all the cities in Northern Ireland are open. Derry's a positive example of that last year, the City of Culture.
Yes.
I mean, there's good things happening there, but still at the back of people's minds, everyday issues,
yeah.
like bread and butter issues, like jobs, like education,
right.
they are things being put on the back burner. And that cannot be allowed to happen either. And we've got to make them as important
right.
as every other issue.
When there are issues which are very much associated with the south of Ireland, great emphasis placed on inward investment. With inward investment, obviously, Northern Ireland is now a competitor with the rest of the island. But when there is inward investment, is there a sense from the middle class, from those who have been unemployed, that has little to do with them anyway, or is there a sense that maybe if we get more investment, things will be better?
Well, I think, you know, people get to a stage in life where they believe it's never going to happen. And there's caucus people who believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work hard in those people because they're just looking for any excuse to make trouble. But there is a sense in Northern Ireland that we are making progress. And I think the First and Deputy First Minister do a splendid job.
Yes.
I think Arlene Foster, who brings in investment, does a splendid job. The problem is most of the jobs that are coming in are all high-skilled. And the areas I work in, we wouldn't have young people capable of applying for those jobs
right.
because they don't have the educational skills. That's another issue we have to address. And they're all things that should be brought into the Good Friday Agreement and looked at.
It's always a pleasure. Indeed, to have you
pleasure
as
to
a
talk
guest,
to you.
And also to know that that somewhere between things being so much better and the gap between that and issues that have yet to be addressed, there's a reality in there, and hopefully that will move.
Well, someone asked me the other day, Adrian, what would be my biggest wish? My dearest wish would be to see Northern Ireland at peace with itself. We haven't been at peace with ourselves now for the last 40, nearly 50 years. I'd like to see that happen. And slowly you see that beginning to happen. It's maybe not happened fast enough, but I would like to see that happen, and I would also like to see us present a better future, a shared future for all the people of Northern Ireland.
From your lips to God's ears.
Thank you.
Baroness May Plaid. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.